Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Hello, this is Stephen O'Doherty. When the 2017 budget was handed down, there were a lot of happy faces at Landcare Australia. The federal government provided an ongoing financial commitment to the National Landcare Program of $1.1 billion over 5 years. This program has 5,500 land care groups operating nationally, 1,800 of those in rural areas. That adds up to lots of people power, with over 100,000 land care volunteers. In urban areas, they might care for a small patch of local bushland. In rural areas, it can be some very large-scale projects indeed, tackling some of the most pressing issues affecting our productive capacity, in particular, issues associated with climate change. While I was delighted to learn how caring for the land in this way quickly develops into caring for each other, healing the land and healing our communities. Tessa Yakshevich is the CEO of Landcare Australia, and she joined us on Open House.
From a kind of agricultural sense, looking after land care is very, very important. The land care community, usually farmers in adjoining properties, will work on projects in their local area, and not only does that improve the environment in their area, it also helps with food production, particularly sustainable food production.
Yes.
So from a government perspective, you know, there's a return on investment, basically.
So what's the sort of large-scale project we would see if we were to go out into the field with you?
Yes, okay. So some of the things that we work with, or Landcare groups work on, is building resilience to drought. So preparing the property and the surrounding properties to better respond and deal with drought when it occurs. The value of doing that, of course, is the whilst the farm will be impacted by the drought, it'll be to a lesser extent and will recover quicker. And it avoids the government having to hand out a drought grant, drought recovery grant. What you would see, things like the way that pastures are managed are changed. You've got smaller pastures with fencing. The stock are moved around to avoid overgrazing. The waterways are protected with watering points.
These are small-scale changes that, in fact, over time make a big change to the ecosystem of that whole region, if I could put it in those terms, or sort of the area.
Absolutely. And I think the wonderful thing about Landcare is, yes, there are small community groups working together, but generally to a larger common purpose. But what I love about Landcare is these people really own their projects and own their land. So, yes, the government may tip in a bit of money, but even when that money's spent, that Landcare community group will be there maintaining it, the property, maintaining the project, managing that investment. If the government had paid for a contractor to come in and do that work, they would have come in, done the work and be gone.
Yes, and probably not cleaned up after themselves. Although, no, I don't want to cast aspersions on all contractors. We're speaking on Open House with Tessa Yakshevich, and she is the very passionate CEO of Landcare Australia. I want to take you to this other place about the spirit that's involved in these groups. In my terms as a practicing Christian, I would say, well, it makes perfectly good sense. God placed us in the garden and said, look after it. What I want you to do is to tend the garden to make it better. And we're still in that business of making the world a better place. And there's no more tangible way of doing that than actually getting dirt under your fingernails and tending the garden God's given us. Is that how you see it?
Well, yes, I see it from, I guess, a number of fronts that link to that. One is when you go and meet these people doing this work, they absolutely have such passion and connection to that land, and you can see it affecting that spirit in that person. You can see changes in the way that an area functions by the creation of a Landcare community group in that area. You see greater social cohesion, you see a purpose in the area and so forth. And, you know, whatever your religious views, or there is definitely a spiritual connection, a human connection happening.
There's definitely something that goes beyond the tangible, the crop yield, the salinity index. Talk to me about what you've seen in Landcare groups coming together as something bigger than themselves.
There's many examples, but some of the things that come to mind is, for example, when the big bushfires happened in Victoria.
Oh, yes.
It was the local Landcare community groups that rallied together first and got out there and helped, you know, the farmers to rebuild the fencing and find their animals and so forth.
Marvellous.
That journey, that story, was then shared with Tasmania. And when Tasmania had some bushfires, you know, the stories and the knowledge of the Victorian Landcare groups was transferred to Tasmania.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of examples where, particularly in rural areas where, you know, there's been a lot of loss of services, farming is, you know, not making good money and so forth, that Landcare has played a major part in helping people with managing their mental health.
Yes.
Again, by connection and help from each other and support.
Yes. Care for one another, care for our environment. It's all there, isn't it? It's all this intangible stuff that actually makes us human.
Absolutely. And I think the last point I would make is there are 5,400 Landcare groups across Australia. So one might think, well, okay, we've got this little Landcare group over here caring for a piece of bush. What happens with that knowledge? Landcare is a huge network of connectivity between groups, regions, using Landcare Australia's digital tools and so forth. So ideas are shared right across Australia from the work of locals on the ground, and that's very unique about Landcare.